You're listening to Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Aboriginal Sounds profiles the heavy metal band When Darkness Falls and award-winning author and journalist Vincent Schilling. Stick around for more. Aboriginal Sounds is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by.
We cannot be broken. Oh, 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 oh. We are, we are, we are. So much more than all this war and destruction.
Welcome to the latest edition of Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. We've got a great show for you today. We've got an amazing interview with an award-winning journalist and author, Vincent Schilling of the St. Regis Mohawk Nation. But in this first segment, we're giving it up for the primal rock sound of the Acoma Pueblo-based band When Darkness Falls, who have just re-released their 2011 CD, Bloodstone, through a major distribution deal. Rockwired had a chance to catch up with Turtle, Bucky, and Jay of When Darkness Falls regarding this re-release, and you'll hear all that in just a few minutes. From their CD Bloodstone, here is When Darkness Falls with Corruption.
Oh, the fucking enemy dwells in the wild.
From their CD Bloodstone, that was When Darkness Falls with Corruption. Visit the band at www.MysteriaRecordsUSA.com and check them out at both Facebook and Reverb Nation. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Turtle, Bucky, and Jay of When Darkness Falls regarding the re-release of Bloodstone, and here's how the interview went. Well, I'm here with the members of When Darkness Falls. I've got lead singer Turtle, I've got Bucky on drums, and Jay on bass, and thank you all for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so, well, it's been an interesting year for you guys with the release of the second CD, and now that it's out there for everybody to hear, and now that it's been out there, how do you guys feel about the end result? I'll just go around here.
We feel pretty good about it. I mean, it released back in April, I believe, and it's been good. I mean, we're getting pretty excited because come January 3rd, the CD that just released, Bloodstone, is re-releasing through Universal Music Distribution. So it's going to be released in over 500 markets worldwide. So we're pretty excited, and it's gonna blow things up for us. I mean, like, in a good way, in a positive way, and it's definitely going to get When Darkness Falls name out there a lot more. So we're really looking forward to that.
Fantastic. Talk about how Universal Music got a hold of all this.
Well, I guess no one can answer that any better. I'm Turtle, by the way, but Bucky right here is the one that will be willing to answer that. I don't know.
All right. Well, then I'll be able to pass it over to Bucky.
It was actually a deal that our current record label, Mysteria Records, was the one who actually made this deal with Universal and all the artists on the label. So all the artists on the label are actually having their music all released through Universal Music Distributing. So, you know, besides the label, all the artists on the label are, you know, just as excited. So there'll be a big show that we'll be doing here in January. I believe January 27th is the date for all the label or all the artists on the label, kind of like a big CD release party we'll be doing here in Albuquerque for that. Or for us, it's a re-release. So yeah, that's kind of how Universal came into the picture, is with through our current record label. Yeah.
I see. And for anyone who's probably not in the know, talk about how this band got started.
Well, this is Turtle. The band got started back in October, I believe, of 05. So we've been together for quite a long time. The drummer, Bucky, and the two guitarists were the first ones to actually start this band, because they started playing way back since 98, 97. And Jay and his brother Zach, which is the bass player and the other singer, you know, came to be in their band after, what, about maybe 4 years?
I was recently employed at a local casino, and I got a hold of the guitarist Roland. And these guys at the time, like he said, were ordering a band, and they just used to tell me they used to just jam for the hell of it, and these guys jammed in Albuquerque. And I recently had been playing bass for like maybe 3 years before that, and then I just dropped off the face of the planet and just didn't pick it up. And when I heard that they were starting back up, you know, I just went down for fun, and I had totally forgotten how to play, and it just picked up from there, and it all started working, and we started having fun, and then I got to meet Bucky over here, and then my brother, is just a big old tag-along, came down, and, you know, he just watches, and he kind of felt left out, so they told him, you know, why don't you just try singing something, so he tried singing, and then my brother Turtle over here, too, came down, and it just all mixed together, like primordial soup just got stirred up, and the end result is what you got right now, man.
Primordial soup. It sounds nasty, but anyway. you know, being an American Indian metal band, talk about how the music has been received by the Yakima Pueblo community or any native community. Talk about that.
From our community or our reservation, Yakima, it's been received pretty well. I mean, we have pretty much the entire reservation supporting us, and they see how far, you know, the things we've accomplished to date. And so, you know, they keep pushing us, they keep encouraging us to, you know, keep doing it. So, you know, it's definitely a positive thing that we're receiving from, you know, support from our own, you know, our own tribal members and whatnot. And, you know, as far as, you know, other natives out there, you know, throughout the U.S., you know, they all seem to, you know, take it well. I mean, a lot of all the music pretty much has positive messages, you know. And then, so besides the aggression of the music, and you know, it's pretty popular with the natives in general. Yeah,
it's pretty tough, especially coming from a culture that's just totally secluded from the outside world, and you know, just being very secretive in our religious ways as our people, you know. And my family in general being very, very, very traditional, and Lawant Turtle and all of us here, you know. But, you know, when we got to open up their minds and explain to them, it's nothing negative, it's very positive in a way. And it was just surprising to get that much encouragement, especially from our leaders and stuff like that. So it's really good. I like it, you know. I really do.
And also, you know, a big change, you know, all Native Americans are doing now are blues, our country, our Western, you know. Yeah, so, right. You know, we decided, you know, time to change the times, you know.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly.
So, you know, we wanted to be noticed. We wanted to be out there, you know. We wanted to step it up and show people that, hey, you know, not all Native Americans are gone, you know. The cowboys did not wipe us out, you know. So, you know, we're still here, you know, over some thousand million years, you know. We're still here, and we want to show the world, you know, that, hey, Native Americans are here, Pueblos are here, Plains Indians are here, you know, Coastal Indians are here, you know, everywhere, you know. So I think that's the reason why we had chosen to become a band and to play the metal music that we did, because there's a lot of things, you know, that us as Native American people feel very strongly about the land, about, you know, caring for one another. And nowadays, it's kind of like it's overstepped that bounds of not respecting or not doing anything no more. So, you know, myself as a senior songwriter, you know, I wanted to incorporate that. You know, why are we doing this to one another? Why are we, you know, why are you doing this to yourselves? You know, and, you know, it's basically like in the darkness, coming back into light, you know, a new life, new generation, whatever you may want to call it, you know, something new, something brand new, what we could start from and build together, you know, as a people, you know, not only Native Americans, but everybody else in general, you know. We're all one, we're all living, you know, we're all here, you know. So that's exactly, you know, where our Native American people, our fans, you know, really get a hold of that is, you know, they see the messages on the lyrics on the album, you know, and the albums are really taking off really fast, you know. It's going pretty good for us, you know, and the positive messages, you know, that come with them, you know. We have people saying, damn, man, you guys made me feel so good with that song, or, you know, that song really touched me in a way, you know. And that's always good to hear, you know, that our Native American people, you know, are getting the message, you know, the message is getting across. So we have a big following with our Native American people.
Visit the band at www.MysteriaRecordsUSA.com and be sure to check them out at both Facebook and Reverb Nation. From their CD Bloodstone, here is When Darkness Falls once again with Clarify. You're listening to Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at rockwire.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwire.com is pleased to present the Rockwire.com Artist of the Month, Edge of Paradise, and their debut CD, Mask. Powered by Margarita Manet's vocal pyrotechnics and the six-string assault of Dave Bates, Edge of Paradise boasts an edgy rock sound both unparalleled and uncompromising. With tracks such as Thrown It All Away, Shreddenstein, and the slamming title track, Mask is a debut CD like none other. Mask, the debut CD from Edge of Paradise, Rockwire.com's Artist of the Month. Visit Edge of Paradise at their official website, www.edgeofparadise.com. Take a break from the asinine chick flick starring Jennifer What's-Her-Name from Friends and treat yourself to a different kind of movie-going experience. The Guild Cinema is Albuquerque's only venue for eclectic cinema 7 days a week. From uncompromising documentaries to daring foreign films to kitschy cult favorites, the Guild Cinema provides something different. Something better. The Guild Cinema. Located at 3405 Central Avenue Northeast. For news on upcoming screenings, check out guildcinema.com. Save your neck, save your data, and most importantly, save your money. Computer viruses are a fact of life, but Dr. Dan's makes viruses history with a $35 virus removal. Most computers are repaired in 24 hours, so you can get on with your business and get on with your life. Dr. Dan's Computers, located at 4405 Cutler Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-881-8851 or visit us at drdanscomputers.com. Are you a music maker eager to take the stress and the cost out of recording? Then make a little noise at Elephonic Recording, the sound choice for the independent musician. Record in a relaxed environment and take advantage of 32-channel recording, a staff of session musicians and engineers who know what the heck they're doing. Elephonic Recording, a sound choice. Located at 5620 Venice Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-797-1333 or visit us at elephonicrecording.com. You're listening to Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at rockwire.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at rockwire.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and in this segment we're giving it up for When Darkness Falls and the re-release of their CD, Bloodstone. Rockwired had a chance to catch up with Turtle, Bucky, and Jay of When Darkness Falls regarding the re-release, and here's how the rest of the interview went. And have there been any reactions to the band's music that have surprised any of you?
Well, we've had some pretty interesting stories. Our guitarist was telling us one time with a person who was an ex Ku Klux Klan member, actually, with our music had actually changed his perception of that and no longer practices that way of life. So that was one positive thing that came from, you know, our music, and we were totally blown away and shocked with that. We're like, wow, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I guess has shocked us definitely.
I've always said, you know, since the day the God made the earth, you know, he was singing probably when he was doing it, you know, and music is just a very powerful tool, you know. It is very powerful. Life cannot go on without music. you know, and to change someone's point of view like that from bad to, you know, good. And I hope that person is doing well, you know, and doing strong with the newfound light or belief that he has found, you know, that everybody is together, you know. And that's just something so awesome that we have heard, you know, through our music, you know, someone just go, wow, man, you know, and then changing their life, you know, for the better, you know. Most metal bands, you know, kids take the music too seriously and they change their lives for the worse, you know, they kill themselves or do something stupid, you know. But this one was a positive change, you know, and it made all of us feel good. We have, since we had the band, we haven't had maybe one or two negative comments, but that's two out of maybe a million say-sos, you know, and that feels pretty good, you know, to have that, you know, and also with the negativity, build upon it, you know, and you work through it, you adapt, you cope with it, you know, and you move on, you know, so... Music is a strong way of belief, you know.
And talk about how songwriting gets done in this band. How do you guys go about it? Just... back to you.
Yeah, back to me. Well, I write majority of the songs. And what I do usually, just like how Corey Taylor from Stone Sour had said it best, you know, you're laying there at night and you can't go to sleep and all of a sudden something just pops in your head and you're all like, damn, that's a really good lyric, you know, and you're trying to find a receipt or a napkin or something to write it on, you know, and then you save it. So I've been doing that lately and, you know, just write something, and I write songs already before the music even gets there, you know. So when these guys, you know, we all get together, the band just starts jamming out whatever, you know, and we start to structure from that. And then I'll freestyle, you know, not even no words, you know, just kind of like, you know, going off. And eventually the song gets structured. And it gets heavier and heavier, and then I choose which one, you know, if I can't find the right lyrics for it, or if a song is really gonna be meaningful to me, you know, then I just make it up right there on the spot, or if not, I already have the book of lyrics that there's no music to, you know. So I just incorporate them in, you know. So it's all good, you know. All of them are life experiences, what I saw, what I feel, you know, and all the things, you know, that I had spoken about, what's going on in the world, you know. You watch news and it's never really ever really good, you know, good news, you know. So, you know, those are all life experiences, you know, from other people, fans that I've encountered, you know, and saying, you know, this happened to me, you know, or anything like that. I take that and put it in, you know, because what I always say is we're not never really alone, you know. Everybody's had pain, everybody's had grief, everybody's had their downs, you know, and it ain't just the one person this is happening to, you know, it's happening to everybody else in the world at the same time, you know. So that's basically why songwriting comes really easy for us. I have no way to explain it. It's just maybe the 11th mystery of the world, I don't know.
And with that being said, what song off of this latest release resonates for each of you the most and why?
Currently for me, off of the new album, Bloodstone, currently it's the song Corruption. And the reason for that is we have started shooting a video, which is going to be based upon on Leonard Peltier. And all of the, you know, everyone knows, you know, natives know what's, you know, the story with Leonard Peltier and, you know, how he was, you know, allegedly, you know, set up for this, you know, why he's in prison and all that. So we are doing a video for our song titled Corruption, based on Leonard Peltier and, you know, his life, I guess, or part of it anyway. So that song pretty much is my heavy hitter, you know, in my book, because I think the entire world, you know, is based on corruption, sad to say, but, you know, it's true. No matter where you look, no matter what race, what, you know, what ethnic background you are, you know, everything from, you know, ethnicity to race to religion, you know even companies, corporate, you know, everything, it's this world, sadly, is on corruption right now. And you know, so we wanted to hit, you know, have it hit hard, you know, have it hit home with, you know, all the Native Americans, and bring back someone who is a political prisoner, so to speak, right now. And you know, this video, we're pretty excited about it, and we're looking to turn some heads on it. So like I said, we just started filming for it, or started shooting it. So that's the song that I guess in my book would be my heavy hitter from this album.
Goes without saying, you know, Corruption is a great song, but the one that really does it for me is Premonition. Premonition on the Bloodstone album really hits it for me because, you know, they say live the American dream, you know, and, you know, live this way, you know, and it's basically a thought, a big question mark, you know. You know, you're gonna, this is how it's gonna be, you know, this is the way it's gonna go, you know, and they're all dreams, you know, American dream, you know, it's good to get a good car and everything like that, but it's also kind of, I see it as setting it up for a downfall, you know, they make someone so rich and boom, cut them down, you know, so in Premonition, I'm basically saying, you know, your ideas, the way you want us to live, the way you want everybody to be, you know, is setting up for failure, and you don't even see it coming, you know, and you're duping all these people into believing this so strongly that when the day it ain't gonna work no more, well, what's gonna happen, you know, what's gonna happen to the people, what's gonna happen to everything that we stood so strongly about, you know. So Premonition is basically is my heavy hitter song, you know. Premonition is I can't speak enough for it, you know. It's whatever you want to incorporate it, you know. If you buy the album Bloodstone, it's a really good album, you know. Definitely give a listen to all of the songs, read the lyrics, you know, and hit us back up on our website, you know, Mysterio Records USA, you know, or either on our Facebook, you know, hit us up on Facebook, you know, When Darkness Falls, or either our personal website, which is
darknesscrewonline.com.
Yeah, definitely hit us up, you know, let us know what you think, you know, tell us how good, you know, the band is, or what you would like to hear, you know. We all go off of good feedback, you know, so definitely Premonition is one of them, you know. Give a good listen, you know.
And what song stands out for you, Jay?
I really don't have a favorite, you know. I've learned to like all the songs. They all have a lot of meaning, but Corruption, definitely, you know. I'm not really one for authority and government stuff. I just don't like it, you know. And then with the whole Paltier story, you know, just reading the background, and I myself not really knowing the story behind it, and recently looking into it, was pretty interesting to me. Caught my eye and just opened my mind up to like, okay, yeah, maybe there's a reason why I don't trust, you know, government stuff. And not to say it's all bad, but you know, I don't know. But that's really one that really works for me. But other than that, I think every song we write is something very special to me, because the writing process, we all add our little things to it. So it takes a little bit part of with you, you know, of it with you. So I can't really say I have a favorite. I think in every song we're going to do, is always going to be my favorite. So.
Now, with Bloodstone getting a re-release, what else is next musically for the band? What's on the horizon outside of the re-release?
Weight loss.
We have been writing music already for a third album, which we are hoping maybe we'll start recording the summer or the fall of 2012. But for now, with the re-release of Bloodstone, like, it's going to open doors wide open for us. We're going to have a new member coming on pretty soon on our management. We will actually have, you know, a professional tour manager. And so that's going to open a lot of doors for us, and we want to definitely tour this album. And things are looking, you know, things are looking very positive for us. So besides the songwriting and new management coming in, you know, sky's the limit. Shoot.
Visit the band at www.mysteriarecordsusa.com and be sure to check them out at Facebook and Reverb Nation. From their CD Bloodstone, here is When Darkness Falls once more with Forbidden. Listening to Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at rockwire.com. Online radio that rocks. Yes, we are. Rockwire.com is pleased to present the Rockwire.com Artist of the Month, Edge of Paradise, and their debut CD, Mask. Powered by Margarita Manet's vocal pyrotechnics and the six-string assault of Dave Bates, Edge of Paradise boasts an edgy rock sound both unparalleled and uncompromising. With tracks such as Thrown It All Away, Shreddenstein, and the slamming title track, Mask is a debut CD like none other. Mask, the debut CD from Edge of Paradise, Rockwire.com's Artist of the Month. Visit Edge of Paradise at their official website, www.edgeofparadise.com. Take a break from the asinine chick flick starring Jennifer What's-Her-Name from Friends and treat yourself to a different kind of movie-going experience. The Guild Cinema is Albuquerque's only venue for eclectic cinema 7 days a week. From uncompromising documentaries to daring foreign films to kitschy cult favorites, the Guild Cinema provides something different, something better. The Guild Cinema, located at 3405 Central Avenue Northeast. For news on upcoming screenings, check out guildcinema.com. Save your neck, save your data, and most importantly, save your money. Computer viruses are a fact of life, but Dr. Dan's makes viruses history with a $35 virus removal. Most computers are repaired in 24 hours, so you can get on with your business and get on with your life. Dr. Dan's Computers, located at 4405 Cutler Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-881-8851 or visit us at drdanscomputers.com. Are you a music maker eager to take the stress and the cost out of recording? Then make a little noise at Elephonic Recording, the sound choice for the independent musician. Record in a relaxed environment and take advantage of 32-channel recording, a staff of session musicians and engineers who know what the heck they're doing. Elephonic Recording, a sound choice. Located at 5620 Venice Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-797-1333 or visit us at elephonicrecording.com. You're listening to Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at rockwire.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at rockwire.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and in this segment we profile award-winning journalist and author Vincent Schilling of the St. Regis Mohawk. He is a correspondent for Indian Country Today Media Network and is the author of the Native Trailblazers series of books. He's also the host of the Native Trailblazers radio show, available exclusively at blogtalkradio.com. I spoke with Vincent regarding his new book, Native Musicians in the Groove. Here's how the interview went.
But the thing that, you know, sort of brings you to my attention is this book that you've written, Native Musicians in the Groove.
Right.
Fantastic book, by the way.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good interviews. And talk about the inspiration behind it.
It actually started with book publishing companies. My first book, which was Native Athletes, and, you know, we finished that. It was really well received in Indian Country, and so we were talking about what's the next book, and we kind of were going, and I was like, I'd really like to do musicians. And we were both loved the idea. You know, I'm also an arts and entertainment journalist for Indian Country Today Media Network, and, you know, it's something that's always been in my blood. You know what I mean? I love the field. I mean, yes, I did broadcasting in college, but I also did theater, and I love the theater. I love the performance. I love every bit of, like, getting out there and, you know, delivering a message to people. So musicians, not only are they delivering a message to people, but they're delivering in a way that is really exhibiting this genuine artistry that is built on a foundation of like hardcore practice and like, I mean, just determination that I don't have. I don't have that type of talent. I don't have that musical talent. So what a great opportunity. And I got to talk to some just awesome folks in Indian country. It was just a blast of a book to write, to be honest with you. The only hard part was didn't have room for, 500 people because there's so many talented musicians out there that I wanted to include. So this is, 10 of the best.
Yeah, 10 interviews, 10 artists that you basically follow in the book here. How did you settle on covering these artists?
Well, a little bit of it was kind of who was putting themselves out there and who I kind of ran across. Some of it was some of the music I liked, and then a couple was, a couple folks just couldn't get back to me. So a little bit of everything, a little bit of scheduling, a little bit of, who I thought was true movers and shakers, and it really, boy, I lucked out big time with the folks that involved in it. And the funniest story is Michael Boucher, who now, I'm a executive VP of Schilling Media, and I know that you've interviewed Michael Boucher. He's just a spectacular musician.
And now I've just found out I've mispronounced his name, but go ahead.
Oh, did you? What'd you say, Boucher?
So what?
But it's kind of hard not to. You see the CH, you could be like, it's
dog. You're not going to humiliate me on my show. Go ahead.
He's so kind and so nice, he probably never even said anything either. But by the way, I heard your interview with him. I thought it was an awesome interview. I thought he did a great, great job. He asked great questions. But the neat thing, the funniest story about Michael Boucher is that I was literally finished with my book. We're literally submitting the last bits of content, and I get an email from my editor, Ken Polisi, of Indian Country State Media Network. Says, "Hey, Vince, there's this musician who has just created a song called Dirty Water. Why don't you check him out?" And have since come to find out, the song is about the San Francisco peaks, and they're using, wastewater to make snow. And all right, long story. So I start talking with Michael Boucher, and him and I we really hit it off, like we're just friends from, past lifetimes or something. And then he says, "Yeah, let me send you some of my music." And so I listened to it, and I was like, "Dang it, Mike, you're so good." I call my editor, I said, "We got to add one more guy to this book." And we literally were, getting ready to, submit it and everything, and I was like, "Daggone it. He's just too good." So we included him in the book, and it was like the last ditch, just rushing to get this last chapter into the book. And, so glad he did. And since then, we manage him. My company manages Michael Boucher. He travels all over. And, what a great, just so much has come good out of this book. It's not even funny. It's amazing.
Well, that's one little surprise that comes from the process of putting it together. So, were there any other surprises for you in interviewing some of these artists that you didn't expect to happen?
Gabriel Ayala, here I saw him, kind of posting his content. The guy is a, social media guru, but he really, really enjoys it, does such a great job of it. And, turns out he has a master's degree in classical guitar, really, he studies, and practices hours and hours every day still, just a real generous guy. And you think that, these guys probably just, start practicing when you're 13 and, maybe get a small band together and then one day, you're just performing. That's all that I thought about musicians. I didn't know. I don't know the process. But here he is, really, really well studied, and then you've got Blackfire, with the Benallis, that his brother, two brothers and a sister, who have this incredible, insane passion for, the social justice in the world, and it just bellows out of them. I don't know if you've ever heard their music, it's just spectacular, and you can hear this passion behind their words. And Shane Yellowbird, country musician, huge country musician in Canada, got his start doing karaoke, and he's like, "Yeah, I know, Vince." And he finds out, he's talking to me, And he tells me, he goes, you know, Vince, I have a horrible, horrible stutter. And he goes, a lot of times when I'm having conversations or interviews, he taps on his leg with his fingers, like in a melodic beat, to keep him speaking in a rhythm, to cause him to not stutter. And he learns to take breaks, like I will stop talking, like we'll go, hello, and then what I do, that's what he'll, like, place his stutter to. So he's just, you know, overcoming all these. So all these guys just overcoming incredible odds. Crystal Shawanda performed at Tootsie's Orchid Lounge in Nashville, you know, and that's where she got her start. She said one time she got so passionate, she slammed her foot down into the ground, and her high heel shoe came off because it got stuck in the wood. You know, just some great, great, great stories in this book. Just a really, really cool book.
Right, and have there been any reactions to this book that you didn't expect, or?
You know, you asked me that, and off the top of my head, you know, there's been so many wonderful comments about all of these books, you know, in the Native Trailblazer series, and this for me was my third book, third book. Out of the four I've written, and there's five in the series, but I've heard so many great comments about people being inspired, and you know, what I try to do, Brian, is I write about people doing things that are successful. So I guess really what I have to say is something more collectively, and you know, people tell me that they really feel inspired because they see what they're doing in these books as the way the story relates, and what I tried to do in this series is write success stories so that if you can kind of watch what they do and watch what these or read what these folks do and follow their sequence of steps to succeed, that if you take similar successful steps in your own life, you'll be successful too. It sounds really, really simplistic, but it really is true. If you do successful things, you will be successful. Simple, but incredibly true, and you can just see it over and over. So what I've heard most is, wow, I really love this. Oh, my gosh, thank you so much. Or oh, my gosh, I can't believe you're writing books about Native people. Why? You know, or, you know, wow, I have a Native role model. Because when I was recently given, and it was just an incredible honor, I was recently given a Human Rights Award here in Virginia Beach, where I live in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I was awarded a Human Rights Award, and I was just overwhelmed. And I said to the folks in the audience, I said, you know, when I was a kid, you know, and I'm 44, so looking up, gosh, 30-something years ago, I remember being in my bedroom and had one of those little record players where the record is bigger than the record player, listening to the Village People, you know, dancing with them, excited. Because, you know, I was dancing with the Village People and excited because one of the members of the group was Native American. And, you know, that was my role model. That was it, you know. And that was Felipe Rose. And today Felipe Rose is a very close friend of mine. And I
heard the show, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Oh, gosh. Well, that is just so great. Well, see, the thing is when I was a kid, that was it. That was it. That was my only role model. And my thought is I really would like there to be role models for these kids to... so that they're not in their bedrooms by themselves desperately holding on to just one role model, you know. They have musicians, they have, you know, artists, and now, you know, Native musicians in the group they can look at, or you know, Native defenders of the environment, or you know, the athletes. You know, it's just been a great process, and I've really been honored to be a part of it, and I'm so grateful to a book publishing company to allow me to do these books to this point.
Yeah, you have this whole series of books, and you've got you got your own radio show, Native Trailblazers. In setting all this up, was there any resistance to it at all, or?
Well, you know, I think the only resistance I've really kind of experienced is that maybe sometimes where I try to get into some of the places that are selling books and things like that, and they don't see it as, you know, something that's really going to move and sell, you know, a million copies in, you know, 1 week, because Native Americans are the smallest percentage of the population in the U.S. But for the most part, people have been fairly receptive. But I think the thing that I want to overcome, and I really would like to just really go out there and tear it up, is to get this on a main stage. You know, let people know that, look, we're out here. You know, because I have a, like I said, I have a media company, and we do events here in Virginia Beach. We do, for example, in November, Native American Heritage Month, is, you know, an event we have at a mall where we have Native American Heritage Celebration, and a woman comes up and says, oh, I thought Native Americans were dead. You know, so I guess if any resistance, I guess people need to know. You know, the resistance has been lack of awareness for more than anything else, is that people just don't realize that Native people are still here, and overcoming stereotypes that, look, we're not just, you know, in feathers and moccasins, you know, sitting cross-legged on a hill with a teepee in the background. We're senators, we're police officers, we're Native musicians and, you know, award-winning musicians that are out there making waves.
For more information on Vincent's book, Native Musicians in the Groove, go to nativevoicesbooks.com and catch his weekly show, Native Trailblazers Radio Show, exclusively at blogtalkradio.com. Now for a music break. From his 2011 CD Believe, here is Michael Buescher with Sacred Ground.
Place that we call sacred, a quiet, holy ground, a spirit sanctuary. You can feel the breath of God, and it's older than our memory. Heard our every word. A thousand years our church has stood, a thousand years returned to sacred ground, to sacred ground, to sacred ground. It's our shrine in all the glory. It speaks to those who find a voice from their Creator. It's in the wind, the sun, the sky, and Grandfather gave it to us and shares it for all time. The ancient place where we have prayed, revealing the divine on sacred ground, on sacred ground, on sacred ground. How is it someone else decides our church is nothing more than a playground or a monument? We don't belong here anymore. How do we lay down and be silent in quiet disbelief? The last one standing, remember what it means on our sacred ground, on sacred ground, on sacred ground. When did sacred lose its meaning? And did I blink or turn my head? Our place is just as holy as four walls with stained glass. The miracle is healing, our medicine is true, the vision's everlasting, and it's all we ever knew on our sacred ground. It's all sacred ground. It's all sacred. sacred ground. It's all sacred ground. It's all sacred ground. It's all sacred ground. Ground.
You're listening to Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at rockwire.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwire.com is pleased to present the Rockwire.com Artist of the Month, Edge of Paradise, and their debut CD, Mask. Powered by Margarita Manet's vocal pyrotechnics and the six-string assault of Dave Bates, Edge of Paradise boasts an edgy rock sound both unparalleled and uncompromising. With tracks such as Thrown It All Away, Shreddenstein, and the slamming title track, Mask is a debut CD like none other. Mask, the debut CD from Edge of Paradise, Rockwire.com's Artist of the Month. Visit Edge of Paradise at their official website, www.edgeofparadise.com. Take a break from the asinine chick flick starring Jennifer What's-Her-Name from Friends and treat yourself to a different kind of movie-going experience. The Guild Cinema is Albuquerque's only venue for eclectic cinema 7 days a week. From uncompromising documentaries to daring foreign films to kitschy cult favorites, the Guild Cinema provides something different. Something better. The Guild Cinema. Located at 3405 Central Avenue Northeast. For news on upcoming screenings, check out guildcinema.com. Save your neck, save your data, and most importantly, save your money. Computer viruses are a fact of life, but Dr. Dan's makes viruses history with a $35 virus removal. Most computers are repaired in 24 hours, so you can get on with your business and get on with your life. Dr. Dan's Computers, located at 4405 Cutler Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-881-8851 or visit us at drdanscomputers.com. Are you a music maker eager to take the stress and the cost out of recording? Then make a little noise at Elephonic Recording, the sound choice for the independent musician. Record in a relaxed environment and take advantage of 32-channel recording, a staff of session musicians and engineers who know what the heck they're doing. Elephonic Recording, a sound choice. Located at 5620 Venice Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-797-1333 or visit us at elephonicrecording.com. You're listening to Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at rockwire.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary American Indian music exclusively at rockwire.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and in this segment we profile award-winning journalist and author Vincent Schilling of the St. Regis Mohawk. He is a correspondent for Indian Country Today Media Network and is the author of the Native Trailblazer series of books. And he's also the host of Native Trailblazer Radio Show, available exclusively at blogtalkradio.com. I spoke with Vincent regarding his life and career, and here's how the interview went.
Now tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get into the business of, you know, journalism and, you know, writing and now radio and things like that? I mean, it's not too common in the Indian community for, for that to be, you know, where you end up in life.
Right,
but
you know, it's really funny you say that, because you're right, because what do we usually hear, you know, in society? What are the stereotypes we hear about in society about Native people is that Native American culture are very quiet and very humble and
very passive and very, you know, yeah, I know.
Right, right. Yeah. All we do is, you know, we'll cry at the sight of garbage. By the way, you know, Iron Eyes Cody was Italian, by the way. Gentleman that cried, remember him?
Oh, yeah, that's good to know. I remember when my sister asked me about that commercial when I was a kid, and I said, he's crying because he has to pick it all up by himself.
He's like, why am I doing this?
Anyway, go ahead.
But, you know, but you're right. But, you know, it's so funny because I had my whole life always loved acting and radio and television and all this media stuff. And, you know, like I said, I really, really loved broadcasting it. Well, I went to San Francisco State University, and one of my broadcast instructors told me about Marshall McLuhan, and I was just, wow, you know, the media is the message. And all of these things have just appealed to me forever. And so I've written my whole life. I was working as a warehouse manager at, you know, this place called Rocket Direct Communications, and my boss at the time was just a wonderful man, Henry Martin. And, you know, I was writing, you know, company newsletters, and, you know, they were jokes and funny, and then I ended up writing the, you know, for the city of Virginia Beach, writing the proposal and all these things to win awards for the company to do the work. You know, I was writing everything. And my wife, Dolores, who really I credit to this more than anything, she's like, you need to quit and become a writer. My gosh, that's all you want to do. Just do it. Get out. So literally, she's like, I'm taking up the slack. I'm going to stay. I'm working here full time as sales and marketing director, and you need to quit and start your career. And who else gets a gift like that? You know, what an incredible gift. So I owe it all to my wife, Dolores. So I started writing. I did, you know, a lot of articles free, started becoming involved with Indian Country Today Media Network as a journalist, and believe me, some of my first articles were probably terrible, you know, because I was trying to learn the whole industry, you know what I'm saying? And I was going to everyone saying, hey, could I be an author? Could I be an author? I have children's books. And I remember walking up to the folks at book publishing company and saying, hi, I want to be an author. You know, my 559,000th person I'd asked, and I said, I'm sorry, right now we're only looking for a Native American author. I'm like, hi, I'm Native American. And literally, the gentleman's name, Warren Jefferson, I saw literally his eyes roll back in his head like, all right, we got one. <You know? laughs> So I helped him with the book project, and they came to me and said, hey, you want to write the Native Trailblazer series for kids? I was like, yeah. So, you know, my books won awards. I'm still writing for Indian Country Today, and I was like, man, do I love this computer world and media and all the, and it just, you know, I learned the journalism industry and was writing books, and I loved every single bit of what I was doing. I'm out there, I'm, you know, I'm standing, you know, 50 feet away from our future president. I'm meeting John McCain. I end up, you know, talking with Wayne Newton as he's helping with the state recognition process of Virginia Indians. I'm meeting all these movers and shakers in the field. I'm like seeing how media companies work, and I'm like, that's what I want to do. I love every bit of this. Every bit of it, I'm just, I have passion for him. And, you know, so we made a video for Michael Boucher, and our music video won, you know, best music video at the 14th Annual Film Festival, the Southeast. And, you know, I'm just like, wow, you know, this is where my passion lies, and because I have passion here, it just, I keep getting gifts of success. And it's like, I think when you have that success, when you have that excitement, and when you have that passion, and when you can walk up to people and you have a giant smile on your face because everything you're doing is what you love, you can, people want that around them. People want to be involved with that same success, you know, because we want to follow the happy folks in life. And I'll tell you, doing what I'm doing, I am stoked. I feel like one of the luckiest guys in the world. I wake up, I'm like, gosh, I cannot believe this is what I'm doing. You know, I love every bit of it, you know. I mean, don't you just love doing radio, Brian? Isn't it awesome? I just love it.
Oh, it's the best thing in the world, and that lands perfectly into my next question. The Native Trailblazers radio show. I mean, to talk about getting that off the ground.
Well, okay. You know, it's funny because I started it. You know, I was talking to my publisher, and it was called the Native Trailblazers series, and I was like, well, you know, let's think of a way that I could do something to talk about my books all the time, because we want a way to get them out there, you know. And I said, you know what? Blog Talk Radio has this great platform where you can do your own radio show. You know, why don't I do it on like once a week, and we'll call it Native Trailblazers, just like the books. And they were like, okay, yeah, sounds great. You go ahead. You can do whatever you want. You know. So I just decided I was going to do it, and I really did it as kind of a hobby, to be honest with you. And I thought, well, let's do it on a Friday night, because I can catch, you know, people before the weekend starts for to get too crazy, and maybe give them be on your best behavior for the weekend. Your success stories, you know, before you go too nuts out there. And I remember my very first book, Native Athletes, and, you know, wanting to talk to Alan Morris, who was an Olympic medalist, and made a phone call and said, yes, hi, I'd like to interview Alan Morris. And they were like, okay. And I remember talking to him on the phone the first time, and literally my hands were shaking. I was so nervous. But I found out that if you ask, a lot of times people will say, okay.
Yes.
So I was like, man, you know, isn't it, you would know this.
Yes,
you
would.
You know, and because of that, you and I, Brian, do we get to talk to some of the most awesome people out there? And then you're like, wow, what a cool interview. I get to talk to the people that everyone wants to talk to.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so next thing I know, I'm talking to Wayne Newton on my show. You know, tons of people are listening. And now I've been nominated for Aboriginal People's Choice Music Award. You know, I didn't win the award, but I was up there with some other awesome guys, and the folks that won deserved it, because they're an awesome radio show. And I invited those folks onto my show and said, hey, I want to wish you luck and give them votes if you think they're better. Because I'm not about, you know, anything other than, hey, let's promote each other. You know, let's do everything we can to say, look, we're out here. So what do you know? Something I was doing just as literally a hobby, I've now had over 20,000 people listen to the show. That's, to me, you got to be joking. You know, you're kidding me, right? What did I do? You know, other than just trying to have a great time. And now Dolores, who is my wife, is coming on board as programming director, and she's like already getting the show scheduled months and months ahead. She's got some insane movers and shakers coming up. So now, where else are we going to go except for just up? It's just exciting. So, you know, and that's why I like talking with you, because you and I get to talk about the cool things we're doing, and, you know, it's exciting. You know, it's just a great field to be in. I love every bit of it.
And what advice would you give to anybody, for the sake of the show, a young American Indian kid wanting to get into a business like this? What advice would you give?
First thing I would do is, I think one of the biggest things for me as a kid is I had a million questions, but no one to ask. And I didn't know how to go about asking anyone anything. So a lot of times what I felt myself doing in my life, and a lot of times what we do in life, is we shoot from the hip. We go, well, I guess I'll just try this. But my advice is, look at these books, go to a library, and you know, go to a library and get books on someone who is doing something that you want to do that is a, you know, multimillionaire at it, because they're going to be able to tell you the mistakes they made, and you can learn from those mistakes just by reading a book. And most of the time, libraries are free, or borrow a friend's cell phone and look up on the internet, or go get a computer somewhere and look it up online and research what these people did and research the mistakes they made so you don't have to make them. The advice I have is you can ask anybody anything. That's advice I got from one of my professors in college. He said you can ask anyone anything. Maybe they may not tell you the answer you want to hear, but then go find out from someone else. If you want to find out how to become a doctor, go talk to a doctor. Pick up the phone and call a hospital and say, hi, is there a doctor I could talk to for a few minutes? And say, hey, what did you do to become a doctor? Or if you want to be a car mechanic, call a car mechanic that has a successful business and say, what did you do to be a car mechanic that has a successful business? Take advantage of those people out there that are success stories. They are waiting to talk to you, because very, very, very rarely do people ask how guys like you, Brian, and I got to where we are at. But wouldn't you, if a kid called you, Brian, and said, hey, can you tell me how you do what you did, wouldn't you love to take a few minutes to tell him what you did?
No, and absolutely.
Yes! And you'd give them their number if they want to call you again, and your email, say, hey, I want to help you become a success. So even if it maybe makes you feel a little bit nervous, call them anyways. There are times, Brian, where I reach for the phone and dial that number, and literally my hands are shaking. But you know what? I'm stepping into that discomfort zone because I know it's going to propel me that much further into success. So that's my advice. Take advantage of those people out there that are successful and talk to them. Talk to them. They are. Believe me, they'll give you 5 minutes of their time. And if they can't, they'll tell you someone who can. They want to help you succeed. You don't have to be alone in this. So, you know, there's always someone and there's always a way to look at it. So look for a mentor, because we're out there. We're ready to talk to you.
For more information on Vincent's book, Native Musicians in the Groove, go to nativevoicesbooks.com and catch his weekly show, Native Trailblazers Radio Show, exclusively at blogtalkradio.com. Now for a music break. From their 2010 CD, The Acoustic Sessions, here is Indigenous with Come On Home. I'm chasing the sun. that's going to do it for this edition of Aboriginal Sounds. A special thanks goes out to Bucky Vio of When Darkness Falls and to Vincent Schilling of Schilling Media. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Aboriginal Sounds is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. To all this confusion.